Sometimes it seems like we're living in the ACLU's America. Even though our founders said our rights come from the Creator, even though our national motto is In God We Trust, the ACLU and groups like it are basically chipping away at religion and morality, the twin pillars of human happiness and political prosperity, as George Washington put it in his farewell address. But here's an encouraging story about the ACLU and their compatriots, and it involves a manger scene. Our guest right now is Jocelyn Floyd, who is an associate counsel of the Thomas More Society. She joins us to talk about this case. Jocelyn, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So it's good to hear some good news. Tell us what's going on in Indiana involving a manger scene.
Well, the county of Franklin in the southeastern corner of Indiana, just on the edge of Ohio, has had a nativity scene on their courthouse lawn for about 50 years. And this is a gorgeous scene. And these are almost life-size figures. They have Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, but also shepherds and wise men and a stable. And it's a prominent thing to see as you go by. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation, along with the ACLU, sued the county, saying that having this up on the courthouse lawn violates the Establishment Clause. Now, the reason they thought that is because they thought the county itself was putting the nativity scene up. That would be a violation of the Establishment Clause if it were true, but it was not true. This nativity scene is privately sponsored. There are citizens of the county who own it, who maintain it, who put it up, who take it down, and they receive permission from the commissioners every year to put it up. The same as other displays throughout the year receive permission from the commissioners. So the lawsuit was filed last December, just before Christmas, trying to get the nativity scene taken down immediately. We reached a settlement with them at the time to take it down after Christmas, because normally they leave it up till January, and then we'd go through the rest of the case and figure out where things actually fell. So in that process, we advised the county to clarify their procedures, because what happened was they were using an informal, unwritten policy. It's a very small county. There's about 2,500, 3,000 people in this city that where the county courthouse is, and there's only about 23,000 people in the whole county. So everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everything. They have a lot of informal policies, which that's just what happens in life. So we had them adopt a formal written policy to clarify how this courthouse lawn was to be used in the future for displays. There's this concept known as the Forum Doctrine, which says that there are certain types of government property that is open to the people for their free speech activities. And so that's what they did here. They put it in writing to clarify what kind of forum this is, how people can get permits, and it's an absolutely content-neutral policy. Religion is allowed, non-religion is allowed, everything's allowed as long as it fits certain space and safety standards.
All right. Now, you said earlier that if that were public property, or I forgot exactly how you worded it, it would violate the Establishment Clause. But I do want to ask you, there was a Supreme Court decision involving Providence, Rhode Island. I believe the year was 1983. I don't remember the name of the actual decision itself, but it was along, the conclusion was along the lines that a manger scene per se was allowed if there were also other symbols. But that's not what happened in this particular case. Can you clarify that?
Yes. So we call that the three reindeer rule in law.
The three reindeer rule. Okay.
Yes. So basically, if the government wishes to put up a display, its own display on its own property, whether that be on the lawn or in the rotunda of the Capitol or, you know, inside the courthouse, a government property, government-sponsored, government puts it up. They are allowed to do that in celebration of holidays throughout the year, as long as they don't show a preference for one religion over another. So, for example, the winter holidays right around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. There is Hanukkah, typically. There's the Kwanzaa. There's also the winter solstice. So if the government wishes to put up a nativity scene in recognition of this holiday that its people celebrate, they need to put the other stuff up as well. There has to be a balance to show that this is just an overall celebration of all of the things, rather than we are picking one particular religious tradition and celebrating that. So the problem here, if it had been sponsored by the county, is that it was a nativity scene that was by itself. It was just a nativity scene. There was no other holiday decorations or secular decorations to balance the nativity scene. And so if the county had been the one to put it up in this particular factual circumstance, it would have been an improper endorsement of one religion over the others.
Based on interpretations of, you know, the Supreme Court decisions and so forth. But I will say this. It seems like a lot of times the secularism is so entrenched that they won't even acknowledge or have the manger scene. And so we've gotten to the scene, the place where, for example, I remember, you know, somebody was trying to get a manger scene to be incorporated amongst a whole bunch of other secular symbols related to the winter holidays. And what the school or what the, you know, public officials ended up doing was they removed all winter stuff so that they wouldn't have to have them, you know, any kind of manger scene. They were hostile, frankly, explicitly towards Christianity by itself and only Christianity.
Yeah, and that is something that happens, and it's very sad when it does, because not only are they hostile to Christianity, but they also end up taking away the celebration from everyone else as well. So they're so focused on making sure that Christianity doesn't get any platform, any recognition, that they're willing to stop everything else. And we see this in other instances with speech. They're so willing to stop a Christian speech or expression in some form that they're willing to just shut everyone up and censor everyone's speech. And that's something that as a policy matter should offend all of us, Christian and non-Christian alike, because this country was founded on the principles of freedom of speech and expression, and that we welcome a diversity of ideas because we believe that in this marketplace of ideas, just like in a free economy, the best product will ultimately be the one that survives. In a marketplace of ideas, the best idea is the one that will survive when it's given the chance to really be held up and compared to all the other ideas. Hmm.
I think I figured out what the ACLU's favorite Christmas carol is. It's Away with the Manger. No, just kidding. Okay, so just to clarify here, the reason that they're allowed to do it is because this is not public land, or the people participating in this are private citizens?
It is public land, but it's privately sponsored. So the way this doctrine works is when we think about the act, the prototypical traditional public forum, we think of the public park, and we think of someone taking their soapbox, putting it on the ground, standing on it, and just talking to whoever passes by, that they want to express their opinion on religion, on politics, on the merits of Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Are you talking about Hyde Park, or where are you talking about? In a public park?
In a public park. You know, we think of that, people don't tend to actually stand on soapboxes anymore, but
right. That's
the quintessential example of public property being used by private people for the private people to express their personal opinions. So when you look beyond that, beyond the public park, beyond the street where you have a parade, beyond the sidewalk where you have picketers, you know, these are all speech activities that we're familiar with and we recognize. When you look at beyond that, so here we have a county courthouse, and it has a lawn. This lawn belongs to the county. It belongs to the county courthouse. And in and of itself, it is not traditionally something that is used for speech. It's used for property of the county government. But the county government had said, we want to open this up to speech. We want people to be able to have events here. We want people to be able to put up displays here. And so they have created what's known as a limited public forum, which means it's they have designated it as a public forum for the people of their county, and those people can come and express themselves throughout the year, so long as they follow the basic permit process. You put in your application, you pay an application fee, you put a security deposit that you get back at the end if nothing went wrong, and then you can put up your display.
It seems almost as if one of the driving forces behind this, the group called Freedom From Religious Foundation, or Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based in Madison, Wisconsin, I believe, it's almost as if they're looking all over the country, you know, for any sneaky vestiges of religion left. Oh, my goodness, there's a Ten Commandments monument over here. And, you know, at this point, it's almost as if we need a don't ask, don't tell policy when it comes to any Christian monuments or Judeo-Christian monuments or anything, any Judeo-Christian expression left in the country in the public square.
The problem is that if we don't ask and don't tell, it's still visible that it's there. And yes, you are right. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, that is their mission. They believe that the First Amendment, the separation of church and state, means that they should be free from any religious influence or even exposure in their personal lives, which is a ridiculous extreme that is not supported by the Constitution or the law. The law says that we have freedom of religion, which means that each individual person has the freedom to decide which religion they wish to follow or whether they wish to follow no religion at all. And then the effect of that is all of us are equal. And in the public square, we all have the right to stay true to our religious tradition, to express our religious beliefs, and to have our religious beliefs recognized to an extent by the government, not by governmental establishment of a state church, but by neutrality. All religions have the same right to have their speech be in a place that other public speech is allowed on an equal basis with the secular speech.
You know,
and that offends
the
Freedom From Religion Foundation, because they don't want to be exposed to the religious speech at all.
Yeah, well, let's take an example. I mean, the phrase separation of church and state as applied to the First Amendment in America comes ultimately from a private letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist January 1, 1802. But he wrote it on a Friday, and then 2 days later he went to church, as was his custom, at least in that part of his life. And where did he go to church? In the U.S. Capitol. They had worship services, Christian, explicitly Christian worship services, in the U.S. Capitol building from about 1800, when they first created it, until the 1880s, when by that time there were enough Christian churches in the new build, the new city of Washington, D.C. It was no longer new by the 1880s. So anyway, wouldn't you think that Christian worship services and that Jefferson attended, then later Madison and Monroe and all these different presidents, wouldn't you think that would violate the Establishment Clause of religion or the separation of church and state? No, they had a totally different understanding of it at the time. And as you say, the founders gave us freedom of religion, which it may include the, you know, the constitutional right to be offended versus freedom from religion. You've made a great point in that remark.
Yeah, prepositions matter. So learn your grammar, people.
Sure. Okay, how about a closing thought on this this particular victory and where we go from here?
Okay, so actually the final part was when the county implemented their actual written policy that removed any possibility of anyone ever getting confused and thinking that this nativity scene is sponsored by the county itself. That rendered the case moot. Basically, the court had no jurisdiction, because all the court could order is exactly what the county had already done. And so the court said there's no dispute here for us to settle, and so the case has been dismissed. And I think the lesson to be learned from that for these small towns and these small counties across the country, because Freedom from Religion Foundation loves to go after the small ones because they know those
the easy targets
typically don't have the resources to fight back.
Right.
So take a look at your forum doctrine. Take a look at your policies for permits. Take a look at who sponsors it, and get those in order now. Because if you do, then the Freedom from Religion Foundation has no ground to stand on, and they can't sue you.
Or the ACLU. We've been talking with Jocelyn Floyd of the Thomas More Society. For more information on this case and others like it, thomasmoresociety.org. Thanks so much for joining us. All the best.
All right, thank you.
For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb.